All right, mic'd up. Someone's got to tell me we're back, guys. Please, thank you very much. Now I got reverb.
I lost it again.
Are we on the radio or not? Sal, are we on in New York? Sal? Are we on the air or not? Are we on the radio too or not? Can someone tell me? Sal, now I got reverb.
Eddie, my board here is all screwy. You got to fix it. It's not working at all. So you got to kind of piece it together here. You can fool around with it because I don't know what that means. Some kind of hieroglyphics I'm not familiar with.
We're not talking about the Yankees. Gaga, gaga, gaga. What is his behavior? Gaga, gaga, gaga. I didn't ask you that. Goes gaga.
Can you stop yelling at me?
None. None. Zero. He's done it never.
Hold on. You gotta stop talking. Let me think for a second, because I can't think if you're talking. No, I don't want you to say anything.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm not gonna listen to anything. Bye. Cut him off, because I don't want to hear anything.
Well, let's both talk at the same time. Let's both talk at the same time, because it works real good. It sounds great on the radio, okay? Let's just both talk at the same time. It sounds great.
If you don't set it up.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, from those of you far and wide and across the nation on this great radio program we call Dave in the City. We welcome you to another fantastic, fun-filled show. And I am, of course, your host, as you've heard, Dave Medina, and we are going to have a great one for you today. Joining us in just a couple minutes, we're going to hear from Jerry and Piscataway, our normal baseball insider, but we're going to talk about a couple other things tonight. You will be mesmerized, and I think you're going to love it. So that's coming up in just a bit. But, you know, I wanted to start today. We're not going to have a whole lot of time to talk about this, but I wanted to start today about the state of the NFL. And really, just all I wanted to say about that is that I think it's unanimous amongst all fans who follow this sport that you cannot anoint any team the best team in the NFL right now. None. You thought it was the Steelers. They got blown away at home by the Patriots. That was very disappointing. You thought it may have been the Giants in the NFC, and they got blown away at home by the Cowboys of all teams. So, you know, you look at it and you wonder if these teams are a little bit overrated. And I think they are. But I also think, having said that, that both of these teams are not as bad as they looked on Sunday. And they're not as great as they looked in their best efforts. You could say that the best effort for the Giants was against the Seahawks on the road. You could say that the best effort for the Steelers was also on the road against the Tennessee Titans. I'm not quick to say they're one or the other, but that's the NFL this year. No team has really looked great all 10 or so weeks in a row. The Patriots the week before got blown up by the Browns. And then, well, the week before was a bye week, but every team on there has had an embarrassing loss this season. So the conclusion is you can't conclude anything. And so that's basically all I wanted to say about that. These teams are hard to figure out in the NFL, and I think in many ways that's good, but it also, although you could, it's also good because it means that the competition in the NFL this year is as good as I've ever seen it. Maybe the best we've seen in a decade or more. It's really good. You cannot rule any team out. You cannot rule any team out except maybe the Panthers and the Bills, and maybe the Bears and the Vikings. That's it. And, you know, other than that, you know, pretty much everybody's in this thing, at least to compete. That's a lot of fun. So that's basically all I had about that today. Now, Michael Vick on Monday night, I just wanted to bring this up quickly. Man, he was great. That's what I have. And, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, what it did to the, and I say you know too many times, Genie Bus, but it's really amazing. I was really surprised to see him perform as well as he did on Monday night against the Redskins. That was pretty crazy. But it just proves that, you know, Vic kind of makes Andy Reid look bad because he was such a staunch supporter of he was such a staunch supporter of Kevin Kolb, but because Vic's doing so well, it kind of threw all of his plans out the window. But at the end of the day, the Eagles are thriving right now, and they are going to have a huge matchup with the Giants coming up. Hopefully you can hear about that on the Checker Football Pick'em podcast. That's at footballpick'em.podbean.com. But we don't have time for that now. It is time to introduce our guest.
Jerry and Piscataway, the captain, is joining us now in the City Locks of the Week radio. Jerry, long time no here. How's it been?
Good evening, Dave. It has been a while. Everything's good. How about with you? How's everything?
I'm fine. I'm glad now. Now I know that you've had quite an interesting weekend, so you're here with all your limbs. Thank goodness.
Oh, man. Interesting to say the least. I can't even begin to explain some of the weekends that I've been having, but that was one of the wildest, man. I mean, oh, from start to finish. The original story was we were supposed to go to Atlantic City that night, and a buddy of mine said he got, you know, $500 room comp, this and that, and something happened and it fell through. I knew it sounded too good to be.
All right, fellas, this is Dave in the City Locks of the Week Radio. I think we are having some technical difficulties. What we're going to do, I'm going to drop myself from the show, and then I'll call back. And then I will we'll try it again. So hang on, please. We're going to get back on the show right after this. Okay, we're back in the City Locks of the Week Radio. Let's see if we have everybody here. Everybody here? Let's see if everybody here is here. Man, that was bad karma. Apparently, when I do pre-taped segments, especially ones of significant length, these things seem to happen. The larger the audience, the worse it gets. And I don't think it's working. I think people are not getting the signal. But for those of you who are here, I'm happy to have you tonight. I just wanted to get into like what's going on in the, you know, who's the best in sports and who isn't. And then I wanted to touch on, you know, what we have coming up this week. And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about, too, I wanted to talk about the Giants-Eagles game coming up on Sunday Night Football. It's going to be a big, big showdown. And so I just think it's really crazy that we would come to this kind of a meeting between two teams that, you know, have had their moments where they've been really hot. And again, apologies to Jerry and Piscataway. We'll just have to get him on another time. You know, we can upload his segment to the podcast feed, but in the meanwhile, we'll need your telephone calls, 424-258-9251, if you want to join us today in the program. 424-258-9251 is your number. So we are back online now, and as according to all the people in the audience, we are doing pretty well. And I just, you know, again, like I said, it's probably just karma that I tried to put on a, you know, a nice interview with Jerry, who did a great job with the interview, but we'll replay that thing down the road. But having it during a big live show with a huge audience, it was like history repeating itself. We had the same thing happen a few weeks ago here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio, on Blog Talk Radio, and that thing was a disaster. And it wasn't Jerry's fault, it wasn't my fault, it wasn't anybody's fault, it's just that Blog Talk Radio couldn't take the heat. All these people started signing on and logging in to listen, and it tanked. And it was just a terrible night, but it looks like we have our audience still here, and we'll just, for now, abandon the Jerry interview, but we'll have it back up, like, eventually, and then get that thing going. So call us in, 424-258-9251. Umar asked before the program began, Umar being Lee in New York, he said, is there going to be some breakdown of the Bulls-Spurs game tonight? And the answer is absolutely, positively. And basically my analysis of it, since I've been spending most of this time preparing for the show, is that the Bulls started off pretty well. They got off by 10 points in the half. But like Umar, I also think that the Spurs are going to make a bit of a run here in the second half, principally because Tim Duncan is there. And who can guard Tim Duncan? Like, nobody. Nobody can. So that's that. But if the Bulls win, that's a pretty big win, feather in the cap. And Umar, you know, and he's a friend of mine, and he's contributed to the show. We've heard from him multiple times, and he's been really a big diehard Bulls fan, but he's like one of the more negative fans of any team I can remember. anytime they go out to play, he's like, oh, that's it. We're going to lose. Ah, we're going to lose. Against any team. I think it'd be the Timberwolves. Like, ah, no, no way. We'll find a way to blow it. But that's cool. I mean, it's cool because he really, it shows you how much he really cares about the team. And I think that's really cool. So, again, 424-258-9251. Let's get on with the topic of the day, and is basically what we had brought up at the top of the show. Who is the best team in the NFL? We still don't know. We really don't know who the best team in the NFL is. I don't think we're going to know. Even well into the playoffs, we're really not going to know. So we brought up the Steelers. I just can't believe how disappointing it was getting into the going into this game. I really thought that the Steelers were going to put up a much tougher fight than this. But the fact is this. Their defense is soft. All right? Their defense is so soft. Being able to open up the middle. I mean, Brady always has a high passing percentage against the Steelers. Brady has always got a high quarterback rating against the Steelers. I thought this year would be different. It's not different. It is not different. It is the same thing that has plagued the Steelers all this time. It is the same stuff. The same thing. The offense is fine, but they give up everything to the Patriots at home. And it's just like the divisional round a few years ago, like the championship game in 2001. The same story. I thought things changed. I thought the players were different. I thought things would be different. Not different. So that really disappoints me, to be honest with you. And I gotta say, the Steelers really had a chance to prove themselves as one of the best teams, the single best team in the NFL, and they failed. They failed big time. I was just so disappointed at that. But it doesn't really make me feel that bad because everybody's had this loss this season. The Giants had that loss. The Patriots had that loss. You know, you look at a team at the top, they've all had that loss. I would say even the Colts had that loss because they went out to Jacksonville and lost by field goal. That was embarrassing too. They really should have won that game, but they were behind the whole time. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. 424-258-9251. We want to hear from you today. And so, if you can call us at some point during this program, we would really appreciate it and talk to us about sports. So, let's get into this. We talked about the Giants that got blown out by the Dallas Cowboys. We talked about the Eagles who had just an amazing game at Washington. But something tells me that it's going to be completely different this time out. The Giants are a very interesting team. And one thing that's been pretty consistent with the Tom Coughlin era and the New York football Giants, that's Coughlin, not Coughlin, as one Mario in, where is he from? Mario in somewhere, just ended up having one of the stupidest calls I've ever heard on radio, any radio, children's radio. It was if it was on children's radio, it would be a stupid call. It is the stupidest call I've ever heard, ever. And he called Mike Francesa and talked about how Coughlin, because he's a Jets fan, should be pronounced Coughlin because that's how it's spelled. Okay, I've seen that happen. I've seen that pronounced that way once. That was Natalie Coughlin, who is a world-class Olympic swimmer and one of the great all-time female swimmers of all, you know, I've ever seen. I mean, she's incredible. And she could break men's records in swimming if she wanted to. But she's good. But still, you know, that guy was an idiot. So Coughlin teams with the Giants do two things pretty consistently from year to year. They play terribly in the second half of seasons, and they don't play very well at home, especially late in the year. It's weird. But Coughlin and Eli Manning have both been on the team basically about the same amount of time. So that's why you'll see these tendencies from year to year despite the change in personnel elsewhere. And I think that's just the funniest thing about the Giants. But having said that, as bad as they can look at home, they're just as good when they're on the road. And this is why I think this week we're going to be talking about a Giants big victory at the link in Philadelphia this Sunday night. I just got the feeling like the Giants are going to totally win this game. They're not going to be favored in this game. That's clear. The Eagles are going to be the most hyped team between the two. People will be just on the Vic bandwagon very hard. And I think the Giants are just going to take that they haven't forgotten how to play. I mean, they had one bad game. You're going to suddenly write them off. You know, you're going to suddenly write them off. It's just silly to do. They're going to have one bad game. You're just going to conclude that that's the end of it? I don't think so. I think the Giants are going to come out, and they are going to have a big, big win at Philadelphia. Philly fans don't even realize it. They're already anointing Michael Vick the greatest quarterback that ever played for the team. They're anointing them an MVP, which is fine because he does have MVP caliber material. But they're making a lot of assumptions. And I don't think you should do that. I really think they should. Now, the question is how? How will the Giants win this game at Philadelphia? You will find out, and we will take your phone calls on this. 424-258-9251. We'll find out the answer to that question, how the Giants will win at Philadelphia, right after this. This is Dave in the City. Back at it here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio at about 8:28 local time. That's 11:28 Eastern time. Dave Medina with you on the program tonight. 424-258-9251, your number. We're sorry that we couldn't keep the Captain Jerry and Piscataway interview, but we will have that for you on our podcast feed after the tonight is done. But do stay tuned for that. That's a really good interview, so I hope you get the chance to listen to that. But meanwhile, we're talking Giants and Eagles, and I wanted to quickly get into how the Giants are going to win this game. I said they were going to do it. I made this claim. I was pretty sure about it. But now to tell you how it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen with their running game. Number one, they are among the best at running the football in the NFL. And you'd be surprised at that because you know that Brandon Jacobs does not have the greatest reputation for toughness or even running the football at all. And what's funny about that is that he's been reduced to more of a bit player as far as what I've seen so far. I would say that Bradshaw's been the guy that's been getting a lot of the carries this year. And I think that it helps the Giants in a sense. It's not earth, wind, and fire. It's a little bit of earth. It's a little bit of wind. I'm trying to remember who was the fire, but maybe we can get some help from the board on that one. If you can chat on blogtalkradio.com/Dave in the City, you can chime in and talk to us. You can also talk to us on the phone, as we mentioned. Tommy, you got to get on the phone. You are really having a quite a blast stirring things up there in the chat room. Let's talk to you, and it's your Giants. I want to hear from you tonight, 424-258-9251. So that's one way they're going to do it. By doing so, they'll keep Michael Vick off the field. If you limit the number of possessions that Michael Vick has, I think he can do less damage. One thing about the Giants that we've all talked about over the course of the season that's improved has been their secondary. It's a lot better than it had been in years past. And signing Antrell Roll, for example, from the Cardinals, great move. I think it was Bullock who they picked up from the Titans. I'm not sure what we've seen from him this year. Giant fans might have a better read on that. But still, the secondary as a whole, it's not as terrible as it's been in years past. Like, to give you an idea, if you look back at the game that they played against the Cowboys, so that was just a couple days ago, some of their scoring was off of turnovers. Eli Manning threw a very unusual interception in the end zone that was returned all the way back for a touchdown. That accounts for some of the points. It just seemed like the Cowboys really jumped on the Giants, and New York just wasn't expecting it. I think that's all it really was. I don't think you take too much from that loss. But pushing that aside, I think that overall this team, its defense is not as bad as it used to be. That's the key. And the Eagles' defense is still pretty good, too. And again, we mentioned how the Giants are pretty good at running the football, but here's another thing. Eli Manning was at one point third in the NFL, I think he may even be higher than that, in touchdown passes this season. He's been really one of the best throwers of the football, if you will, this year. And I honestly didn't see it coming, but that's kind of my fault. I just had this bias against him that he wasn't that great. But he's grown. Every year he's grown, and he's pretty good now. And I think that through all his faults and all of his foibles, he's a good quarterback. I mean, you could say that he's overblown, but in my opinion, he does a pretty good job. You could do a lot worse than Eli Manning. A lot worse. He's good. So, another thing that has helped the Giants become better is them finding themselves at wide receiver. And it's Akeem Nicks. And it's Mario Manningham. And it's the continued effort of Kevin Boss, the tight end. Now that they know where to go, I think it helps their offense a lot. And now running the football, passing the football is not a huge deal as you get into the later months. But now that Eli Manning knows where to go, who to look to, he's got a rhythm going. And I really think that's going to help the Giants along the way. That's going to be very, very fantastic to see all, you know, in this game. And so again, I think the Giants are going to take this. They're certainly going to cover the spread. And I think they're going to win. 424-258-9251, your number. Let's go to the 732 area code. You're in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. Is this who is this? I just want to make sure. Hello?
This is Tom. I'm on another line.
Boy, you sound like you're on two tin cans there, Tommy. How you been tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
You all right? You all right there?
You sound like you... Irish.
What's that? One more time?
I said, how about those fighting Irish?
Oh, the Irish?
you can barely hear me, right?
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Wait, a minute.
Are you on like? Are you talking through a computer or something? I mean, I am, but I got the studio stuff with me.
No, it's just a regular landline.
Oh, weird. I wonder why it's coming in so low. That's kind of odd. Man, I guess I could turn it up, but anyway, the point being, I really have a good feeling about this Giants team coming up this Sunday. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first of all, I see you've been very active on the chat room today. Listen, I know you said what you said, and I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm not going to say you're right. I'm just going to say that, well, I guess I'll say you're right. But the thing is, What makes the message board that we all frequent, the MikeFrancesa.com, interesting is that our relationships there. And, you know, things happen. And it'll just be inevitable. Sometimes people won't get along with other people, and I think that's just fine. I mean, I don't think that's a problem with that at all. But still, I just think it's interesting what's developed, and I won't comment any further on that. But Tom, what's on your mind? I think it's better if we just transition to your end of the phone.
What are you referring to? Are you referring to the whole unclever thing scenario?
Yeah.
Are you referring to, or are you talking about the captain? The joke about captains, how you probably talked about all baseball with him?
No, that's just in good fun. No, we're not talking about captain at all, actually. And again, if you get a chance to listen to the interview later on, you're going to notice that Cap is actually pretty well versed in all the sports. You'll be really surprised. It was really good. I have to be honest with you. He got into a lot of the NBA. He got into some NFL. It was really a lot of fun to listen to. I just wish I could have played it. It was kind of funny. But still, Tom, and we're not off to a flying start here. That's my fault. But listen, I think that as bad as the Giants looked the other day against the Cowboys, I don't think that's as bad as they really are. Would you agree with that?
I think the problem with the Giants is the problem they've had all year, the turnover scenario. Just way too many turnovers, and like Coughlin is, I'm worried about it too, and I don't know if it's ever going to get fixed. It just seems like every game they have two or three turnovers, and they win despite it because of their defense, which played poorly last game, but I'm not worried about that. It's just the turnovers. And the offense, it's one of the top offenses in the league, but they still turn over the ball way too much. It's a huge problem. They signed Hagan. They got Hagan back, Derek Hagan back, this past, I think today they got him back. But because they were stupid, they put, the rookie, on IR, so they can't have him for the rest of the year. Now they really need him. And Hagan's going to be playing a lot this week. And I really trust him. But, the turnover scenario is just a huge problem. And I don't know. I like him this week, but just like you do. But come playoff time, hopefully they win the division. But I don't know, Dave. I'm really speechless right now. I'm really worried about their turnovers. And the defense is good, and that's pretty much it.
All right, man. And now, quick update on the Knicks game. I don't have it on locally. What's going on there in the Knicks with the Knicks and the Kings right now?
Let me turn on. I was watching the Bulls game for a minute. I'm actually surprised that the Knicks are actually up nine with under 9 minutes left in the third quarter, and Stone just drove to the hole and got stripped from Knicks ball. Luther Head is playing for the Sacramento Kings, which is pretty funny. Kings are pretty bad, so if the Knicks can't win this game, I don't know. I kind of hope D'Antoni gets fired. Stone's been playing really well this year. I remember in our basketball podcast, I wasn't too thrilled with him, with how he's playing in the summer and in the preseason, but he's looked very good so far early. And the Knicks rookie, he's been unbelievable. I can't believe they got him in the second round. I remember watching him at Stanford. He's been there, but I never thought he'd be this good in the pros. So the Knicks got steal in the second round in the draft, which is surprising because the draft picks have really been a joke.
Right.
Turiaf
is playing well, isn't he not? And, people say that he's a glue for that team, and I know that. I mean, he was a Laker for a while, and he's a good guy. You know, he'll be a good clubhouse presence, as they say. So, your thoughts on Turiaf, other than just the fact that he's a good hustler?
No, there's nothing really else to say about him. I think what everybody says is pretty much correct. He's a good hustler. He does what he can. He's not that great of a talent-wise. He's not that great, but he puts everything into what he has. And that's all you can ask for any player. I wish more NBA players were like that. I wish more college players were like that. I watch Villanova like every game, as everybody knows. And like Peña, he works his ass off, and he's not that talented, but he gets it done. And that's all you can ask for any players. Just put in what you have, and it just seems like too many of these players do not put in the time in the practice. And Gallinari just hit a three. Wow, surprising. Gallinari's been struggling all year, as everybody knows, and I want the Knicks to train him, but they can't train him if he's playing like crap like he has been. And the Knicks are up 12 with under 8 to go. I like how Felton just pushes the ball every moment of every drive. He just pushes it nonstop, which I like about D'Antoni's system, but they don't play any defense. But they're playing a little defense tonight, which is good. But as I said before, if you can't beat the Kings, you're not going to beat anyone.
Well, I mean, the Kings have had a pretty lousy start for their season, too. It's no doubt. And so, I mean, first of all, the Kings were up by a bunch of points, and so this must have been a pretty big run if they're up by double digits right now, meaning the Knicks. That's actually pretty surprising. But
I didn't watch the first quarter, so I'm not sure. I've been watching it from the second quarter on, but Knicks have had control of the game. I've been flipping between this game and the Bulls game. Rumors got me into the Bulls game.
Yeah, me as well.
If Umar wasn't around, I don't think I'd watch a second of any Bulls game.
yes and no. Derrick Rose is a pretty special talent, and I'm always going to remember the Bulls because of that great first-round series against the Celtics a couple years ago. I mean, that was great. That was really good.
Yeah, it went seven. That was a great series. I remember that well.
Yeah, almost every game went to overtime, and it was really a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what have the Bulls done since then? I guess not a whole lot, but it's still, I mean, they've got potential, and I guess that's the key with this team, potential.
Now, Umar always talks about how Van Gundy always kills Derrick Rose, but I never noticed that, but Umar listens closely, but have you noticed that? I've never noticed that.
One more time?
That Van Gundy kills Derrick Rose all the time on the broadcast.
You know, I really didn't notice that. And Van Gundy is really interesting in that he always takes sides with guys. Like, he'll root for certain teams. You ever notice that he also pumps up the Houston Rockets a little too much? I mean, he picked them to go to the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, I don't really take a whole lot of stock.
He's too close to the Rockets. That's the problem. With other teams, he does a really good job. I used to like that trio a lot more in the past than I do now. Jackson kind of gets annoying. And Breen, he kills the refs. I mean, he sides with the refs way too often, except for the other night. Last night in the Knicks game, he was actually very anti-refs, which was amazing. I don't know if anyone watched the actually stay up to watch the Knicks game, but he was killing the refs, and rightfully so. They were doing an awful job, and Breen, who almost always sides with the refs, was just destroying the refs left and right. It was awesome. I was shocked that Breen went that route, but it was a great job by him.
Well, I mean, I think that ESPN crew as a whole is a very, if anything, they're engaging, and I think they're. I wouldn't say, I mean, maybe they know what they, maybe they are, sometimes they know what they're talking about, sometimes they don't, but they're definitely engaging. They're very entertaining, and they have a good sense of humor at times. I kind of like it. Some people bash them, and I'm like, these people will bash anybody. They'll bash Marv Albert. They'll be like, I don't like Marv Albert. It's like, how could you not like Marv Albert? He's a great basketball broadcaster. You know, he brings excitement to the game. I can't even get over that. So some people just complain about anything.
And, you know, I used to love Bill Walton, and everybody destroyed Bill Walton all the time, but I thought he was very funny. And I have a buddy who destroys Vince Scully all the time, saying how boring he is, and he can't watch Dodger games because of him. And I think he's an absolute fool. So just like you said, everybody has a gripe with every announcer, and it seems like no one can... I guess Mark Albert is the closest to agreement with everyone, how everybody thinks he does a great job, which is pretty obvious, but outside of maybe Marv, I don't think there's too many people that people can agree on. Just like earlier today, someone was killing Gus Johnson, and I think Gus Johnson's great for football and basketball, and I wish he was still with the Knicks with the radio, but he's not. So, but yeah, it seems like every announcer gets killed by someone, just like every news commentator gets killed by everyone, whether it's Oberman or O'Reilly, you know?
Yeah, that's the key. You know, people can be. I mean, yeah, it's sometimes you just got to let it go. And for any time somebody claims that they hate a certain broadcaster, I always ask them, who do you like? Like, who are your favorites? Because that could tell you a lot about the validity of the comment. That's key.
Yeah, and half the time they don't have a favorite.
Pretty much. And because, why? Because they love to complain. It's like they're cooler when they complain. It's kind of funny how that works. Gus Johnson's an interesting case, though. You know, when I first heard him, I actually thought he was really annoying. But the more I got to listen to his broadcast, the more I realized he was pretty good. He was good. And ever since the Aflalo to Farmar play that they had in the what was it, Sweet 16 against, it may have been Elite 8, against the Gonzaga Bulldogs, man, I was hooked. That was just one of the great moments in sports, and I remember where I was. I was sitting on the couch watching that. I put it on the DVD. It was amazing.
I always go on YouTube and listen to all of his great sound clips that he has, and YouTube has a bunch of them. I love when Gus Johnson at the end, he does the ha ha, he does that little cackle. That's the best when he does the laugh at the end. He did that with the Hail Mary. He did that at the end. It was like a different kind of cackle, though. It was more of a laugh than a cackle than the ha ha. But yeah, I love Gus Johnson.
Yeah, that last one I think he did during the Gerard Hail Mary to Mike Thomas. That was more like him gasping for air. It really seemed like he literally had a heart attack after the play. It really did. And that was why it was so funny. It was so great at the same time. It was just really incredible theater to watch it in real time, and I was fortunate to do so. You know, I don't think they showed that on Red Zone Channel. I don't know if you had it on or not, but they did not have that on Red Zone Channel. I believe they were stuck on, like, some other game, like the Rams or something, or that ugly Lions-Bills game. I think they were stuck on that game when that was going on. Because I said, hey, where's the game? I thought they were going to be showing the end of this game. They're going to do one last play. And it was tied, yeah, but they, you know, they had one last play. They never showed it. I mean, can anyone corroborate that, those of you listening? I don't think anybody showed that play. So I actually switched to the game manually and saw the play in real time. I thought it was and that was just unbelievable. I mean, I was impressed. I was shocked. But anyway,
you
Tom.
You know what's an atrocious job on my part? I actually do not have the Red Zone. I did not pay for it this year, which is an absolutely atrocious job on my part. I figured, I have the board, so I don't really need it. I can follow. I can go to sports bar. I have missed so much NFL for not having the Red Zone. Now, I can't have the ticket because I don't have DirecTV, but it was a terrible job by me for not getting the Red Zone. And it shows with my fantasy teams. My fantasy team in my league is an absolute joke. I got killed by Andy this week. And, of course, after losing to him, he calls me, leaves me a voicemail flipping out about how I didn't praise him for winning. And it was an atrocious job on my part for not congratulating him for winning. So I'm doing this now, Andy. Congratulations on beating my awful fantasy team. You are still not making the playoffs, so go ahead and have your fun.
Oh, man, digging at Andy till the end. Tom, you got to have that channel. I mean, if you have the option to get the channel, get the channel. And I know it's a little different than the one that they have on DirecTV, though, right? There's a different host and everything, and it's from NFL Network that they produce it, right? It's a little different, but it's basically the same thing, right? I mean, I've always wondered.
That's my friend.
Yeah, okay. Who's the guy that hosts it on the NFL, on the cable version? Like, do you know the guy's name?
No, you don't even need to know the guy's name. He does a good job, but he's kind of like one of those no-namers. You're not going to hear from him ever. I don't think he's going to ever, like, get, like, a big-time show or anything. So he's just, I think a lot of people can do his job, to be honest with you. I think he does a good job from watching it a few times at my buddy's house and stuff, but I don't remember the guy's name. He does a good job, though.
Gotcha. All right, Tom. Well, thanks for coming on that little bit of a dare that I sent to you. Hey, listen, have a good night. Be good to yourself. And look, we appreciate you being on here. Whatever happens with you in the future, we wish you the best of luck. But seriously, it's great to have you. And good luck to your Giants this weekend.
Thanks, Dave. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Tom and Tom in Jersey. There you go. In the city on Locks of the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina. We have 11 minutes left for phone calls. 424-258-9251, your number. We do want to hear from you on this. It's been kind of a fascinating day in sports. It's been an even more fascinating day on themikefrancesa.com, and since this is the themikefrancesa.com edition of the show, I figured I may as well address a couple of things. Okay, I want to clarify a little bit of what we were talking about at the beginning of that phone call, and I was trying to make a subtle dig at Tom for being kind of the bearer of news, let's say. And what we're alluding to right now is that, you know, one of our friends, whose name we call Unclever, there have been rumors swirling that he may or may not have left the MikeFrancesa.com, and I'm not going to speculate as to how true the rumors are. That's basically what I was trying to tell Tom. I wasn't trying to criticize him, and I didn't mean to anyway, and if I did, I apologize. And anyway, what I was trying to say earlier is that what will happen in the course of time, when you get to know anybody on any walk of life, whether it's a friend, you know, online or offline, whether it's a person you see, you know, right in front of you or miles away on a computer screen, you know, relationships happen, they get built, and it will come occasionally where things get a little personal, and it can be, you know, can be a little dramatic, and I think that stuff is just bound to happen. But I just wanted to say that, you know, whatever develops in the board, I just want to consider everyone as friends, and I completely understand and sympathize with those who may feel that maybe certain people are kind of rubbing them the wrong way and that sort of thing, but I don't want to be putting words in people's mouths either, and I guess that's basically where I'm at with that. If, in fact, certain members have left and it is because of perhaps, you know, this or that or the other thing, well, you know, then I would say that, well, I still would say that as far as how said persons were to me, I would say that things were fine, and I just wish, no matter what the reason is or why anyone goes anywhere, I always wish them the best and wish good luck to them no matter what happens. So I don't want to talk anymore about this. I apologize if I ruffled any feathers tonight with that commentary, but that is basically where I stand on that. We are friends in the MikeFrancesa.com. We will continue to be. And it's why I think we come. We come because we are all have great personalities. And I think you've seen some of that on this program and in other areas. And I just hope that we can keep it that way. I don't want anything to deteriorate because of truths or other things and that sort of thing. So that's all I have. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. We have another telephone call, 203 on the line. You are in the city, my friend. Who's this?
Hey, Dave, it's John in Stamford. What's up?
Hello, John, otherwise known as Yachts.
Hey.
What can
One
I do
thing,
for you?
One thing, based on that giant cowboy game, do you think Tom Coughlin should be fired?
Tom Coughlin. No, I don't think so. It's an overreaction if you believe that after this time. It's just one game. I mean, I understand. You do get the impression from a game like that maybe they've lost the coach. But I think you're alluding to that Mario caller. Am I right?
Basically, I just wanted to say Tom Coughlin. That's the sole purpose for this telephone call.
That's beautiful.
Actually, I did have one question, though, on a more serious note. I noticed that Rip Hamilton had two technicals right in a row at the beginning of that game tonight. Do you know what happened?
You know, honestly, that was so early. I don't think I was out of work yet. Remember, the games start really early in the West Coast. I think they start at 4:30, so I wasn't even out of work at that time, so I wasn't able to check on that. Unfortunately,
oh, okay.
I can't speculate. I can dig it up on the recap, though. Let me get that for you, because I think that would be interesting to note. Do you really think it would have made any difference, though? I mean, the Lakers really won pretty handily tonight. That would be interesting to check on. I'll check on that and get back to you.
Yeah, I wasn't wondering about it making a difference. I just thought it was interesting how he had two technicals called on him when I think it was the same play. I don't know that I ever really saw that before, heard about it, but I didn't see it. They said he wasn't available to the media after the game, so I have no idea what he did. I was just wondering if you knew.
You know, it may have had to do with that new system they have about calling technical fouls if you complain too much to the refs, and maybe it just went a little overboard. It wouldn't surprise me at all. That rule's really riled up NBA players. It's supposed to calm down the over-complaining that players have after foul calls. And, you know, it could have just gone to head with Rip Hamilton. It's quite possible. So I will check on... I'm going to follow up on that and get back to you. And anyway, about the Chargers, they got a big game against Denver really quickly. Do you think that they have a shot at this? I mean, I imagine they're going to be favored in this game at home.
I mean, a shot, yes. It's a home game. The Chiefs losing last week was a big thing, so now they're only a game out. And if you look at their schedule on paper, it's not that horrible. They have Denver, and then next week is at Indy, and then they have the Raiders. But it's not really that horrible if you look at it. So they definitely have a shot. What happens, I have no clue.
Yeah, and you know, just going back to the Hamilton thing really quickly. Sorry to do this, but he did get called for the second foul with 7:01 left in the quarter. I'm guessing it was the first quarter. They called two fouls on him pretty quickly. I'm guessing that may have been it. He just got really riled up about getting called so many fouls so quickly.
Yeah, I just thought it was weird to get those two technicals at that, you know, right away at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Next victim, Minnesota. You ready? I believe from that silence, he is ready.
Sorry. The number three of the Midwest swing, so absolutely looking to sweep it there. But I know you're up against it, so I guess I should just let you go.
All right, John, it's good to hear from you again, and enjoy your days in Connecticut. We hope to hear from you again real soon, my friend.
All right, take care.
John and CT joining us in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina, and we're just going to round out things here. First of all, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Again, I'm really glad that you were able to hang through with all the technical difficulties and whatnot. And if you're interested in the interview with Jerry and Piscataway, that will be on the podcast feed shortly. But until then, I want to wish you guys a great week. Enjoy the football games this weekend. I really think that it's going to be a lot of fun. I didn't get to mention Auburn. I'll mention them in just for, like, I got a minute. Auburn is going in a really tough pickle right now against, and I think that tough times really are ahead because of all the tension surrounding Cam Newton and his eligibility. And I do think it's going to eat them alive, but if anybody can get through stuff like that, I think it's Cam Newton. Newton's been through things like this before. He seems like a good leader. He seems like a good kid. He's made some mistakes, but haven't we all? I just think that he's a good kid. He's a good kid. He means well. And I think that this team could end up going places. Now, it may be tough, but I think they're going to get through this. Even the game at Alabama, I got a feeling they're going to win that game. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, thanks again for joining us, all of you. Have a great night. We hope to hear from you again real soon. But until then, we'll see you next time.